I am buzzing today. Admittedly, maybe it's the coffee that I just gulped down in about a second and a half.
You've changed your coffee timing today. This show could be completely different than it's been the last couple of weeks.
Stay tuned. Mm-hmm. Here's what I've discovered: is that fans at sporting events, that's important. That is extremely, extremely important. A couple of big events in the city yesterday that just felt normalish. I felt normal driving in today because it was hellish on the Gardner and coming up Jarvis.
Yes.
So everything's returning to normal, including fans at sporting events. Man, that was important. Those two games, and we'll talk about both of them. The Leafs with a 2-1 win over the Montreal Canadiens in their season debut. And yes, the pressure has now been alleviated off of this team.
Yep.
And Canada just putting the absolute screws to Panama after being down 1-0, which to me was the more thrilling of the two events yesterday.
That's, yes, it was.
Yes.
Now, I got to say, I watched both at the same time. You probably did it on your fancy television or something, right? You got one of that newfangled television? Yeah. No, I went to a bar.
Picture in picture is like 50 years old, Steven.
I know. I went to a bar where they were
both. Wish I was there.
Where both things were playing. Yeah, it was excellent. I don't have young children, so I can do that at bedtime.
Well done.
I can just go and sit in a bar and watch both games. And there were many people, you know, engaged in both games, and there were lots of Leaf fans for sure. But I did have a hard time taking my eyes off that footy match. For a whole bunch of reasons. It was like, well, we drove, like you and I, we head west, so we drove by. Unfortunately, we weren't there last night. I was at the last one. Mm-hmm. But, you know, drove by the stadium, the lights glowing in the dark, you know, and thinking kind of about, you know, what the vibe was going to be for that game. Very, you know, incredibly important game, important match for Canada. But, my God, talk about living up to expectations, huh?
It's unbelievable. So let's get right into it, because I haven't stopped thinking about it, honestly, since watching it. I know people in my life that are not soccer fans, even beyond that, like adverse to soccer. Like they will shoot it down if I bring up the topic of soccer, who were paying attention yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'll just talk specifically about my father, who doesn't watch soccer, but he, as I was driving home, describing the early moments of that game, and they were down 1-0. I didn't see the opening goal. As you mentioned, we drove by. It was weird to see the stands kind of half full, but we understand.
We now know the story, yes.
Yeah.
It was too bad.
Yeah, it's a shame. There's people trying to get in there for kickoff and showed up 20 minutes early and were not able to enter the building until the second half. I'm sure that's a problem that will be resolved for the next time Canada plays on home soil, which will be in Edmonton next month. But yeah, they saw the good. They saw enough good things that they probably want to return. This was, we set it up yesterday, maybe the most important match in recent history for this team. They had a chance to solidify their spot in the top three in this World Cup qualification table. A draw would have, okay, you're all right with the draw.
Mm-hmm.
A loss, and it's devastating to go down 1-0 as early as they did. And the thoughts that start racing through your head in that moment, and then to respond in the way that they did, and the second goal. And I may have alluded to this yesterday, talking about Alphonso Davies, you know, maybe on the verge of, if not needing, one of those signature moments. If that wasn't it, I don't know what is.
It's one of the greatest. Well, you know, we've all kind of marveled at the great players, right? Like if you want to watch Lionel Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo or in the past Pele or Maradona or those, you can see these kind of virtuoso goals, right? Where they just, guys do magical things. But that goal last night, I'm going to say it's the greatest goal ever scored. I think it's the greatest goal ever scored by a Canadian. If it isn't, I would like someone to show me the greatest goal ever scored by a Canadian. It's one of the greatest goals I've ever seen. And, you know, in that moment, I think the entire country's jaw dropped, right? I think that, as you say, there were people maybe tuning into that match who hadn't tuned in. Again, I know lots of people watching hockey games and other things to watch, not saying that it's not going to do, a crazy TV number or anything like that. But, for people who, had this opportunity to cheer for your country, wrap yourself in the flag, kind of know the context now and believe a little bit that Canada could play in a World Cup for the first time since 86. I hope they were watching and I hope they saw that. And I hope they realized how ridiculous that goal was. What a ridiculous piece of skill it was. You know, to the fact, like, you could tell that the staff, the Canadian team staff were gobsmacked, right? The coaches watching that were kind of saying, what did he just do? It'll be replayed forever and ever, except he might score 10 more like that. You know, he's a kid still. He's unbelievable.
Well, I don't know how much of a soccer fan Michael Grange is, and too much of my sports worldview is filtered through the Twitter prism. But Michael Grange had a tweet somewhere along the lines of, does this guy normally do this? Is this him playing against CONCACAF, teams, Panama? Like, I guess him being in the World 11 would indicate that he does this quite often. It was shared with him a highlight of Alphonso Davies doing almost exactly that. I mean, it was maybe even more impressive against Barcelona.
Yeah.
In the Champions League. That guy's a Canadian.
Yeah, he plays, you know, with Bayern Munich, which is home club. He plays in a, you know, more kind of a regimented system, obviously, and he's playing with all other, you know, 10 world-class players every time he goes out on the pitch, right? So they're one of the greatest clubs in the world. So, you know, and he has a defined role, and so he's not going to freelance quite as much as you got to see him freelance last night. But the skill, yeah, he is, you know, was kind of named to the World 11 last year. He's regarded as one of the best players in the world, certainly one of the best young players in the world. And he does have that ability to just do magical stuff. I can't really describe it in any other way, because I'm not going to even, you know, like, for people who didn't see it, I'm not going to try and describe the goal, because no, I can't.
You can't.
But you can find it somewhere. It's out there on the interwebs. You know, it's not that hard to find.
And I don't think this is overstating it. And I guess they have to finish the job. They have to qualify for the World Cup for this to be true. But people were joking about that being, a heritage moment. Like, that is, watching it, seeing it, feeling it, discussing it, thinking about it, the importance of that match, where they found themselves in it, where they found themselves afterwards, where he is in his development, how old he is,
yes,
the storyline surrounding him, it honestly, it's very rarely that you get these moments. I would say, what's one? Like, Jose Bautista bat flip. That was a moment that, yep, will forever be etched into our brains. We'll be thinking about that, and I think yesterday was actually the anniversary of it, and every time that date comes along, we'll see the gifts, yeah, and we'll get to relive it.
The Kawhi shot various hockey goals.
Exactly.
Right?
That's one. We just lived it. And there's nothing like that to live a moment live, whether you're in person or not, whether we were all sharing the experience watching it on television, or the lucky 27,000 that eventually got into the building yesterday. That was something I'll never forget.
Yeah, I'm with you. My son, one of my kids, was among the voyageurs down in the South End there. He probably didn't have as good a view of it as I did on TV. I'm sure he's watched it 100 times by now, but he was kind of describing the shock and awe among those folks when it happened live, just the kind of the sense of disbelief. And that, you know, that's the hardcore, right? Those are people who do watch the sport. And, you know, and that's the cherry on top of a great performance, 4-1 victory. As you said, you laid it out. They, you know, you got to get points at home. Panama's was ahead of them in the qualifying table. And it was a nasty game. And there was some iffy officiating, let's put it that way. You know, there were some calls that could have been made. Canada probably, you know, should have had at least one penalty, maybe two. It was nasty after the game. It's all this stuff that, you know, if you're playing in CONCACAF, you get, like, that's going to happen. And when they go back to Panama, I was thinking, they got to play in Panama the last game of the qualifying march. That's not going to be a pleasant experience. I got to say, because those Panamanian guys were mad.
Yes, they were.
Right? They were really, really mad.
They were upset.
Yeah, so they're going to remember that. And I'm thinking Panama's not going to be that warm and friendly. But they got through that, right? That didn't put them off their game. They didn't freak out when they didn't get the calls. They dealt with the kind of extracurricular nastiness that they got from the Panamanians. And they ran them off the pitch, right? 4-1. It's a huge result, and it's a huge kind of moment of, you know, like, what's that ability in, you know, when everybody says, okay, you gotta win this. You're at home. The way this system works, there's no, you can get a draw maybe, but you really got to win this. It's a statement game.
You're down 1-0.
And you're down 1-0 instantly. And then you pull that together and do it with style and, you know, like a bit of swag. As a Canadian, you know, to say those are our guys, it's spectacular. You know, you can feel great about your home team, no matter what your home team is, you know, in those moments. But there's nothing like cheering for your national team. I don't care what the sport is. There's nothing like it.
So we're excited. Our next guest, I don't even know.
He doesn't get excited about stuff. I don't know. He's normally very calm and thoughtful. Sober second thoughts. That's his middle name.
Boys. Let's go, boys.
Come on.
Let's do this.
You know who it is. It's
8 minutes here to be brought on. Let's go.
He works for Breakfast Television. All right. Is that better than like being in and around the Faroe Islands in the FIFA World Rankings?
Just slightly better, yes. Just slightly better. All right, I got an idea, because, Steve, you got me thinking that.
Okay.
My birthday is next March 30th. That is the day of the Panama game in Panama City.
Let's go.
Road trip. You, me, Ben, Blair, and just for the hell of it, Arash, okay, based on the trip to Honduras years ago. We all go down. Canadian flags or Canadian scars will blend right in. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
As long as there are people with guns.
Who's with me?
Hopefully the people with the guns. Yeah.
I want the guys that we had in Sinaloa to guard us when we went down there. I would like my own private army, please. Yeah. But yes, otherwise, yeah, let's go.
It's going to, you know, you both know, it's going to come down to that game.
I hope not.
Oh, it's done. The cement's dry. This is how Canada soccer rolls. Like, I know things have changed, but I don't think everything's changed.
Okay.
I don't think that level of stress has changed. I don't think an easy qualification is anywhere in the cards here. I know no one's suggesting it. But this has all the makings of a hot, cheap, aggressive affair March 30th of next year. And I know I'm overlooking like the Mexico game in Edmonton. I'm overlooking a lot. The state's got to come back here. Still a lot on the schedule. I guarantee you it's coming down to March 30th next year.
See,
World Cup or bust.
Oh, man. I had kind of put myself in the space that performance yesterday might alleviate some of the stress that this team, they look like a tight team, I will say, the first game of this round against Honduras at home. But since then, they've looked loose. The expectations for them in yesterday's game were just like through the roof, and they exceeded them somehow despite going down 1-0. I don't expect them to pass the United States or Mexico for a top two spot in the table, but I'm kind of getting over my fear of the stress, which is, I know it resides in every Canadian's heart, whether it's the soccer team or the local hockey team. I'm kind of getting over that. That's it. I'm kind of thinking that maybe that it won't come down to that final game in Panama.
Oh, I would love nothing more. Look, you mentioned the States.
Mm-hmm.
How bad are the States? Panama just beat those guys. Are you kidding? I can't wait for the States, those pompous, arrogant group of individuals. I was going to say something else. I can't. They're going to come up here, and I can't wait to lay a licking on those guys. I'm looking forward to that one. Mexico, by the way, I went back and looked at the weather report from Edmonton, November 16th of last year. It was between minus 17 and minus 7 degrees. And November 16th is when Mexico is coming up here to Edmonton. That's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that. And I don't think the weather the Friday night against Costa Rica is going to be much better. So come on up. Deal with these Canadian kids then. And the one thing I took away from it, Steve, you touched on it. They seem CONCACAF equipped. Do they not?
Mm-hmm.
They seem like, again, the stuff in the corner flag in the northwest corner last night was hilarious. It was hilarious, and I thought it was – like, normally I would be scared out of my mind to see that, especially with guys like Richie Lurie on the field. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. But I think from a team standpoint, that's very, very important. I thought it was extremely important to have Danielle Henry just start to kick that off out of nothing and everyone join in. I thought that mattered. I thought it mattered how occasionally – you know what? We dove. Canada dove. And we better start doing that because everyone else does it in this region, and we just don't do that. Let's do that. This team can do that once in a while. That's why the third penalty shout last night wasn't given. Like that, there's no way that one was given. The first two were penalties. The last one wasn't. Anyway, we do CONCACAF things now. This group, and I love it. You gotta. It's horses for courses, man. We've been doing this wrong the whole time. And on top of that, there's the talent. It's so scary what these guys can do. They're young. They're hungry. They're not scared of anybody. They went down to Azteca, got that point, And last night, and you guys said it, they were down. How many Canadian teams would have folded that we've seen in that park or in other parts of the country if that was the scenario? Panama gets an early goal, now what? I've never seen that before in my life. A Canadian team, like you said, Stephen, just kind of say, enough.
Yeah.
Well, we're doing this tonight.
Well, I'll tell you something. You know, we're going to have John Herdman coming up here. Like, he's, you can talk tactically, you know, he's done some interesting stuff. There's all, we can always, you know, if you want to do X's and O's, that's fine. But, you know, the whole kind of John Herdman thing, right, which is about confidence and belief and, he did that with the women's team. He was great with the women's team. I didn't know if it would translate with the men. I know you didn't, Sid, know if it would translate with the men. It's translated with the men, right? Like, that's part of what's going on here. I know they've got the, like, without the talent, it doesn't matter if you believe, right? Like, forget it. They've got crazy talent. This is the by far the, you know, like, golden generation of Canadian soccer. We're seeing it right now. But he's got these guys mentally prepared for these matches, you know, and that's when you talk about comp being ready for CONCACAF and all that stuff, or going into Azteca, or, you know, what do you do if you don't get that call in the game last night when you should have had one of those, you know, there were two penalties. He's got their head screwed on right.
Steve, there was two instances after he was hired. Jonathan Osorio came in studio and talked to Tim and I after the first game with Herdman in charge, and I asked him off camera, I'm like, so how was it? And he said, he's good. He's organized. He's good. And Osorio had been around the block at this point, right? Like, he wasn't the kid anymore. So that one I always remember. And then when Herdman came in studio and talked to Tim and I after he was hired, he kind of, like, I was brutally honest with him about how, like, my heart has been broken too many times by this program. And he looked at me, like, multiple times and said, you got to believe, man. You got to believe. Like, that's a bad Herdman impression.
It's not bad. It's okay.
But you got to believe. He said it over, and he goes, we can't be living like we got to look ahead and believe in what we can become. That was, he repeated that. He said, believe in what we could become. Now, as someone who sat there, Stephen, like you, and witnessed the garbage of years gone by, that's a tough pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I know what he's trying to sell, but I don't know if I'm buying it. And there is something with this guy in moments we don't see. In the room, on the pitch, one-on-one, you saw it with Christine and that women's team for years. And you're seeing it here. But you're right, the talent's there too. There's a partnership here.
Yeah.
But there is something with John Herdman that you do not understand unless you're in the trenches with him. And you're seeing it last night. That shot of him after Davies' goal, mm-hmm. giving us the Michael Jordan, I don't know what's going on, up to the press box. I don't know who he was looking at. That's a legendary moment in Canadian history right after the goal.
Yeah.
I mean, he's that guy. I didn't know if he was that guy. I knew he was that guy for the women's program. But he's that guy, period. And the resume he's developing, enjoy him while you got him.
Yeah.
Because it is a smaller community than you think in world football. Mm-hmm. Someone's going to pick this guy out, and we got to start again. So enjoy it, because he seems to be the real deal.
Yeah. We knew Alphonso Davies was the real deal before this round of World Cup qualifying. Him being in the World 11, pretty good indication. Being with a team the ilk of Bayern Munich, that'll do it. He should be. I mean, just judging where he plays, his ability, he should be, I don't know, the biggest sporting star in this country. Can he get there? Like, where is his star in this country right now relative to where it should be?
Well, if he keeps hanging out with Drake at Soto Soto, I think it's going to grow by
that'll
the
help.
Week.
Yeah, that'll help.
I mean, look, that was one of those. How many people have you run into today that watched the soccer game over the Leaf game last night?
Lots. The majority.
Is that not stunning?
Yes. Mind-boggling.
Like, now again, it wasn't the greatest hockey game either. Like, I kind of get it. But I'm running to a bunch of people who didn't, and some of them didn't plan on doing it, but the word quickly spread on social and nobody could turn their eyes off it. And Davies had, I don't know what the numbers were. He had a lot of eyes on him last night, and never mind the fact that thing went viral last night and most of today. That it was in my timeline every time I turned on Twitter. And now someone put Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On underneath it. It's not ending. Like, that piece of video of Davies doing that is going to live for a while. So I think he took a leap last night. And I think what's happening here is interesting in that I've always believed Davies had to play that role for this team. You couldn't play him as a defender or a winger. He was too good. And Steven, I got to wonder how many teams in Europe are now looking at him and saying he's out of position.
Well, yeah, you know, he's playing in a place where they've got a lot of options, right? And, yeah. You know,
the Lewandowski guy's pretty good.
He's okay, right? But I'm thinking at some point in his career in Europe, he's going to play up there. I'm just guessing. Maybe not this year, next year at Bayern, but there will be a moment. It's amazing that you can basically put him anywhere on the pitch. And he's really, really good. If you know, bordering on great, but boy, if you give him space, holy smokes!
It is. But I honestly, Steven, it wasn't just the goal. Like I don't know what's going on with Jonathan David. I like Jonathan David. He can't get out of second gear right now.
Yeah, you're right.
Davies tracked down. I lost track of the amount of times Davies just charged the goalie, mm-hmm. and his motor doesn't quit. But that's not something Jonathan David was doing. And that's stuff you notice. And if your best player's doing that, everyone get on the bus. Like, that's a hell of a sign. And it wasn't just the goal. I know the goal got all the attention. Mm-hmm. But from the outside looking in, but, like, having watched the game, all of us here, he was doing so much more than that. He was, you know, the shouting at the Panamanian player when the Daniil Henry thing happened. It was the little things. And he is the greatest player, men's side, I've ever seen in this program. It is not close, not close, and he is scratching the surface.
Yeah, that's it.
This is fun.
Well, you know, as I said, they played the hell out of him on these three matches, right, in this qualifying, right? Like, it's not like, and they're shorthanded, right? They know Atiba Hutchinson, they know Kyle Larin, they got their keeper's not there, no Hoylett, right? There are a bunch of guys that they normally would have who would have started.
And Steve, they just played him in Jamaica. It looked like a bunch of landmines went off.
Exactly.
His field. He's running around on that piece of garbage. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And he looked like that last night. The motor on this kid is unreal. Unbelievable.
They're gonna qualify, Sid.
Yeah.
You ready for it?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, I missed.
You gotta believe.
Before last night, I was saying it. I know. I believe, and I think they're gonna finish ahead of the Americans.
Well, they're gonna finish ahead of the Americans. I'm with you there. Here's why I'm leading in your direction. That Jamaica game was everything you needed to see about what Richie Larea and Tejon Buchanan mean on the flanks.
Mm-hmm.
Because Panama couldn't deal with it. Panama could not deal with those kids going, because I think Larea is actually an offensive player. I don't think he's an out-and-out defender. I've seen enough. Hey, I think that's a perfect role for him to have kind of that dual responsibility. And I think if Buchanan and Larea are there wide, it's a totally different team. Like, they would have skunked Jamaica if Tejon could have played and Richie Larea could have played.
Yep.
Skunked them. I have no doubt. Because I saw some of the worst crosses of my life in that game from Canada. Awful. I don't think Tejon's doing that and Richie's not doing that. So if they're on the field, yeah, they can do this. They can do this.
Let's just go to the Costa Rica game on March 24th in that same window, okay?
Yeah.
Instead of Panama. Can we do that?
They have nice beaches in Costa Rica.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I don't know. That game's going to be kind of big, though. You know what? It'll be fine.
He's so nervous.
Rash knows
so
his
nervous.
Way around tough soccer. And fire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If we stand next to Rash, we'll get wet. But it'll be otherwise, we'll be fine.
Because the context he sweats through his shirt. A rash will protect us, Stephen. You know this.
Yeah.
You know this.
What a moment.
I'm just excited, man. The part of me wants to take a flight to Edmonton after the show for that Friday. Like, I'm this excited.
Yeah,
the weather's not going to be good. Those Costa Rica and Mexico are going to have a problem. They're going to have a problem in a 20-degree day. It's going to be cold in Edmonton next month. I love what Canada soccer just did. Now, save Vancouver for another day. No. These games, outdoors, in the elements, let's go. LA La Rouge, deal with it. Deal with it in our backyard. You want to take the 3 points? Fine. Come play in minus 10-degree temperatures at night, 9 p.m. Eastern. See how good you are. See what you're made of, El Tree, if that's your real name. Come on out. Take the 3 points. Let's go.
I love
LA La Rouge. Let's go.
We needed a wrestling promo to wrap this up. Sid, I don't know how you got to sleep for the hour or so you did last night before you had to wake up and do the show today, because that was so thrilling. Thanks for doing this, though. Good to hear from you.
Good to talk to you, boys. Go Canada. That was awesome. Take care.
See ya.
See ya, pal.
Sid Sixero. He of Breakfast Television. So there were 27,000-ish fans in the building.
Mm-hmm.
There were more people than I ever anticipated watching on television. There were countless more who saw the highlights afterwards. My thought process in bringing my young son to the first match would be maybe he'd get the sporting bug, but the soccer bug. I wonder how many people were just sold on this team, that sport in general, showing up and seeing what they saw yesterday.
Well, you know, we've talked about this a little bit. There's a vibrant soccer culture in this country that is growing and growing and growing. Like outside of the men's national team program, right? There's people follow club teams, they follow MLS teams, club teams overseas, they follow MLS teams, they follow Canadian Premier League teams. All of them well supported, right? Everything is everything's coming up roses for soccer in this country right now, anyway. And the Canadian women's national team obviously are heroes. So the ground is laid, right? Like it's there. But so take what we already have, and then let's say, okay, Canada in the biggest sporting event on earth with not just a bunch of honest pluggers, but featuring a load of exciting talent, including a guy who may be the most exciting young player, right there with, if you want to talk about Kylian Mbappe or, who do you want to talk about? Mm-hmm. Like, he's on that list, folks. He's right. It's not like he's the Canadian version. He's right there with those guys. Anybody you want to talk about. What does that do? What does that do? I think we're going to see, a tidal wave. I think it's going to be like something we haven't seen before.
Yeah, yesterday felt like a turning point.
Yeah.
Honestly, it really did. Coming up next, we're going to talk to the man at the helm of this thing, who was equally excited, and he had a good view. Head coach of the Canadian men's national team, John Herdman, next, as the Fan Drive Time continues. Ben Ennis, Stephen Brun, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Yeah, that was fun. Canada back into an automatic qualification spot for the upcoming FIFA World Cup, overtaking Panama with that 4-1 victory at BMO Field. Let's talk to the man who is on the touchline for that thing, head coach of Canada's men's soccer team, John Herdman, on the line right now. John, thanks so much for doing this. An emotional moment for people in this country. What were your emotions watching it?
Oh, bit of everything. Bit of everything as it was going on. It was like a scene from a movie at times. It's how it felt. Just with the going down a goal early and then, getting back into the game and then the fights and then Fonzie's goal. I mean, Fonzie's goal was like something out of the Matrix. I was just in disbelief. I turned to Jason DeVos and said, did that just happen? I've seen nothing like that before. Yeah, it was brilliant. And then the fans got into it. Yeah, I've never had a better night in football. And I don't think many a football fan will have experienced anything like that with a national team, the men's national team anywhere. It was special.
Well, that's okay. There's a lot to cover there, man. But let's start with the part about your team going down early in that match at home. Understanding what the stakes were, understanding how important it was to get 3 points out of that match, and then falling behind a goal. What did you learn about your guys, the way they responded to that?
Well, what we've seen throughout this whole campaign, it's been that response. And we've built that into the narrative that, those goals won't define our games. We can't concede because we know we have got the quality. And it's not that we go out there not to keep clean sheets and just to make the game interesting. It's pretty clear that, it's football and we can risk more with the way that we play, more expansive, high pressing. Because we know we can score. And when you've got weapons like Buchanan, David, Davies, Larry are on the pitch, we just believe that no matter if we go down, we're coming back. And that's what they proved again last night.
and you were applying constant pressure after that. You get the equalizer on the own goal, and then the goal, like you said, that something you'd never seen before. I mean, describe to us what you're thinking when Alphonso Davies is trying to make up the ground and collect that ball at the touchline.
Yeah, I mean, I was frustrated with the pass. I thought we were getting into those counter-attack moments, and Davies was on the edge of getting released, and we just weren't finding him. It was getting intercepted. So when the pass went astray, I looked at where Fonzo was and thought, he's not. And he did. He took off, and then he just hit the speed. Like, you could see him gaining the ground. It was like a cheetah on a gazelle. It was unbelievable. And then whatever he did on the sideline, I couldn't see it from where I was at. I just thought, what's he done? And then it was in the box. I expected him to pass the ball. I think everyone did. And how he got his hips round to execute the finish, I don't know. I mean, it was, like I say, it was like something out of the Matrix. Like DeVos and Biello, they were celebrating, and I was just staring at them going, has that just happened? Did he just do that? Is this real? I was in a complete trance. I was mesmerized by what I'd seen.
Well,
it was amazing.
You and a few million other people, I think, John. I'll tell you, I know I sent you a note about this, but when I was watching that, I thought, you know, like if that had been part of a Diego Maradona highlight reel, you know, and you said, well, of course, he's one of the greatest players in history, just did that. But, you know, watching that play out in real time and then, you know, the kind of everybody with their jaws on the ground. And then I think the thing that came to me was, holy smokes, this guy's a Canadian, you know, like that's our guy. That just did something that I'm not sure how many players on earth could have done that. That this is an experience none of us have ever had before.
Yeah, and he's reaching new levels in that Canadian shirt. You know, I've said that at times to him. He reminds us of a caged animal when I see him at times for Bayern Munich. He's not releasing his full potential in those games. He's got so much more, I feel, he can bring to the game. And last night, and I've seen him a couple of times, the US game where he's played more free, he's had good players around him, he has a lovely connection with Johnny David. Them two have got a chemistry there on and off the pitch, which I think helps. And he was just free last night, enjoying his football, and that's what I encourage him. You know, some of the lads will get on him and train him for not passing, but I tell him, look, I'd pay money to watch you every day, even in training. You just go and enjoy yourself, son.
Yeah, I haven't gotten...
As long as he does the hard work.
Yeah.
As long as he does the hard work off the ball, and he did last night. He put a shift in.
Yeah, I don't know when I'm going to ever get sick of seeing that gif. It's just an unbelievable moment. It was obviously the turning point in the game, gives you guys the lead. That match in itself, though, felt like a turning point, John, as far as the belief outside of that locker room. I know you have the belief inside of it, but outside of it, the supporters, did it feel like a turning point 90 minutes?
Yeah, it was an important step for this country to number one. Look, I thought we had some big steps at the Gold Cup because I think everyone had looked at this team and said it was an Alphonso Davies, Jonathan David team, and without those guys, Canada are nothing. The coach is clueless, the players aren't good enough. And we went into a Gold Cup, and we beat Costa Rica with what arguably people had said, not a strong squad, no Ativa, no Johnny, no Alphonso, no Kyle, no Milan. And we took a massive step in that Gold Cup, and that for me was the turning point for this team. Because those guys that weren't there, I think they built a new level of respect for the guys that were. And the guys that were there built a level of belief we can do it without them. And that combination led us to where we were at last night, I'm sure of that. And the difference last night is we had 27,000 Canadians enjoy that moment. You know, to see four goals scored in your own stadium, you just, look, when you buy your ticket, you're praying for that moment. And Canada hasn't delivered that against top teams. And we did last night. It was just, it had everything. If I was a fan, I'd be like, you know, I'm coming back. Even if I don't like soccer, I'm coming back to watch that stuff. I want to fight with these guys. And we felt that. We felt that at the end of the game.
John, there was a bit of a nasty edge to that match. That continued after the match. From your point of view, you know, kind of where did that tone get set, and how did you, like, your guys didn't get, you know, again, it was, you guys were passionate, and in some cases they were really angry, but they didn't let it upset the apple cart. How did, you know, that's, I think that's a test. You know, if you're going to play in CONCACAF, you better be able to do that.
Yeah, well, we said, you know, coming into this, like, we're going to fight. And when we fight as one. Like, the biggest challenge for us is that everyone has the same dream as us. And the only way that we show we want it more is when they go into deep water, we go in with them and we go deeper. So when one guy goes in, every man goes in, and that's a commitment. It's not something I've sat and wrote on a wall somewhere, but it's a culture we've created here. We're going to have to fight for everything, every little point, every little yard we're going to fight for as a group. And I think it's just symbolic of how far this group's come. You know, when I first took over, Atiba said, look, you know, the purpose has never been strong enough in this group. And when big moments have came, we've disconnected. We've never rallied around the cause. And I think what you've seen now is a culture where this group of men have got a very clear purpose. And when the shit hits the fan, they're all in. But I think what we've got smart at, Stephen, is we're embracing these dark arts as well, and just understanding that we can't take yellow cards. And I kept saying it to the guys, you can get in there, but don't take the yellow. Provoke a yellow, don't take one. Mm. And that's part of this. I mean, we suffered with six yellow cards across three games, which nearly cost us. And I think it cost us 2 points in the Jamaica game, the yellow cards we've been picking up. So they're getting smarter, and that's part of our growth as a team.
What did you make of the behavior of the Panama squad in that game, both during and then afterwards?
Oh, I loved it. You know, I'm not going to... Look, I don't condone that sort of stuff, but those guys are passionate. But the behavior was provoked because this is New Canada. They're used to coming and walking all over Canada. That's a 2018 World Cup team that's played against, you know, bigger teams and bigger stadiums. They expect to beat us. And they got a taste of, you know, what this is about now and what we're about. And they didn't like it. And the only way they could respond, they couldn't respond on the field. I thought we controlled them well tactically. We adapted well tactically. And we had more talent. So their response was to try and drag us into something that, you know, I thought the boys handled really well. We got spat on last night on the pitch. You know, a guy got punched in the side of the face. Yeah, there was things happening. And the only thing I'd say is we should have VAR in this qualification. Like, VAR should be there. I mean, I don't know what you were seeing last night, but, you know, 4 penalty claims. You know, I just think the referees need that support. Like, this is life or death for countries, you know. So I think the VAR would have made a big difference. There's been some things going on in the Jamaica game, elbows in the face. The Mexico game, you know, Richie gets kicked by Corona and nothing. So, yeah, I'd like to have seen VAR because I think it would have changed the narrative of some of these games.
So, John, your guys now head off. They disperse. They go back to their clubs. You got a month and a bit before the next round of this. It's not like it gets easier, but you do have 2 huge home matches coming up in Edmonton on artificial turf, and it'll be chilly. What do you do during this stretch? What do you and your staff do before the team gets back together?
Yeah, we go in deep. I mean, this as you're saying that somebody there this morning, this sort of 3-month period's aged me 10 years and my staff. Like, it's intense. It's like survival training. Yeah, we'll have 2 days now, and then we're back at it. We're monitoring the players. We're dealing with all the realities like this one. We were trying to find the COVID, you know, loopholes to get Junior and David Wotherspoon to Mexico. And then you're scouting. Like, we did a good bit of work during the COVID period when everyone was shut down. We did a 20-team analysis across CONCACAF to give us a foundation of work But a lot of teams, their coaches have changed and things have moved on. So it's intense, Stephen. This is 5:30 a.m. till 9 p.m. at night, like nonstop for 20 days. It's really an intense period for the staff. But I feel like we've prepared well. Like we've actually done really well. The security team in Mexico and Jamaica did a hell of a job with our team to keep them safe. But to nullify a lot of the scouting things that are going on, we're catching spies at training sessions that wouldn't normally have been caught if we hadn't done the planning. So, yeah, it's been an adventure.
Yeah, that win feels like a bit of a momentum win. Obviously, it was a lot of matches in a short period of time. Is there a part of you, though, that wishes you could play a little bit sooner than a month from now?
Yeah, we were on good momentum. But at the same time, I'm also can take a deep breath because our squad was thinning out, and it was a concern. You know, we pushed David to, for me, risky places yesterday. I didn't want to see that. You know, those guys were pushed too many minutes through that period of time, and thank God they're superhuman and they came through safe. But I mean, in November, my hope is, again, we'll have Atiba back, we'll have Kyle back, we'll have Milan back, we'll have Junior back, we'll have Lucas Cavallini back. You know, five guys that can really, you know, bring their experience and strengthen the squad. And it's not that, you know, those guys we called in didn't step up or didn't contribute. It's just that level of experience is critical. And for us, you know, when you've got a Hoylett that can come off the bench in big moments, yes, he's a creative, quality player, but he just brings a presence that not many players does. So that time will allow us to heal and strengthen.
And hopefully some snow. I don't know. Are we rooting for snow? What are we rooting for weather-wise in Edmonton in November, John?
Oh, I don't care. We're just going to give them hell. Whatever happens, they're going to get... When they play against Canada now, these teams know they're going to get pressed for 90 minutes. We've got a good footballing team, and we'll leave our mark on them. And every team in CONCACAF know that. So all that's going to happen is it's going to be a little bit sore because when we hit the ground, them and us, it's going to be a bit hard. So, yeah. No, it's going to be a good one.
Well, yesterday was a great one. It felt like a seminal moment, John. Thanks so much for doing this, and congrats again.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, Dean. All the best.
It's John Herdman, head coach of Team Canada. Boy, that guy was excited, as was everybody that had the pleasure of watching that thing. He had a good vantage point. I think Sid said it, right? Like, he just kind of makes you believe.
He does. I think there's some people, you know, who resisted, definitely resisted at the beginning when he made the shift over from the women's team. There are lots of folks who said, you know, what's his experience in the men's game? He hasn't coached any significant at the club level, anybody significant. It's two different sports, and John would acknowledge there are big differences.
Yeah.
But you know, if you look at the kind of the history of Canadian men's national team coaching, you know, maybe something a little out of the box was the right way to go. You know, he had options. He had he would have left Canada. He had options to coach women's soccer elsewhere. This is what kept him here, and you know, it allowed him to make that, you know, a leap that. Well, we're just talking about it off air, Ben. I'm not sure anybody else has ever done this.
Not to my knowledge. Yeah,
no.
Gone from a national women's team to a national men's team immediately, and had the success. Again, like the conversation around the national men's team 5 years ago, to be talking about them being now favorites to make a World Cup it's mind-boggling. And what his legend will be if they pull this thing off, and in November they're in. Today I'll go. Qatar. If they're in Qatar in November, what we'll be saying about him and Alphonso Davies? And yeah, he doesn't do any of this without the caliber of talent that you see on the pitch. But you know what? He has to get the accolades because he's done it.
Yeah, he does. We haven't had talent like this, but we've had talent in the past that's been, you know, we've squandered some reasonable talent, maybe not this kind of talent. And, you know, you can kind of, I think the interesting thing is for me is that I could see, you know, with the young guys that they would definitely, you know, the guys who are coming into the program and would buy into what John's selling and, you know, listen, you know, the way John you know, the way John kind of, he's a really great motivator, right? He's really, but you know, the kind of grizzled guys who've been around, like Atiba Hutchinson's been around forever, right? He's been around forever. He's a great player. Doesn't get enough notice in this country. He plays in Turkey, but been around the program and a loyal servant to the Canadian men's program forever and ever. And a guy like that has bought in completely, right? That's, you know, you would have to erase a fair bit of cynicism, you know, if you're him. And he has, you know, I'm not saying he's a cynical guy, but, you know, he's completely there with what John Herdman's doing.
Yeah, I can't tell you anything about the tactics that he employs or the squad that he chooses. I would like him also select Alphonso Davies, and I would say do whatever you want. Score
yes.
the goals, shoot whenever you'd like. But there is, like when he talks about belief, right? And when he talks about what they talk about behind closed doors and the lack of fear of losing, enabling you to be a more free-flowing offensive team, and then you throw up four goals after going down 1-0, or you go into the Azteca and you look on the level with a World Cup participant every 4 years. How is that not, at least in part, coaching?
Yeah.
So that's a layman's opinion. That's just someone who's watching what I'm seeing and absorbing whatever it is that goes beyond X's and O's. There's something there.
And I love his line about mastering the dark arts, too.
Yes.
Right? The dark arts of CONCACAF. Because, you know, it's like what Sid was talking about when he had him on, right? They're going to do that stuff rather than kind of cower in fear or kind of moral indignation, saying, how dare they do that?
Or Canadians,
they're not playing fair.
Yeah.
Beat them at their own game to a degree, right? Don't be surprised. Don't be taken aback. Beat them at their own game, you know, and mess with them a bit. They messed with the Panamanians last night a little bit. They're going to get messed up. And that game in Panama City is going to be wherever in Panama they put it is going to be ugly.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're afraid of that, if you're afraid of this stuff, you're never going to succeed. Never, never, never. I love the fact that they're kind of, yeah, we know what we're facing. Let's do a bit of it ourselves.
You're right. That's the thing that's more tangible. You can see that. You can see, well, John Herdman, one, not admonishing his team for running over in defense of Daniil Henry, who's wearing the substitute's jersey in the corner, you know, saying, okay, yeah, that was good, and that we had his back, and that I think the first guy in was Alphonso Davies, that was a positive development, that they kept fighting, that there was a physical element to their game. That's just unbelievable. I wish there was a game tonight.
Me too. Although there's a pretty good ball game tonight. There's a hockey game tonight. There are other things. You know, there will be diversions. But, yeah, people just have to put this on the back burner for a month.